Welcome back, or welcome to, this month's Multi-Housing News Top Marketers Podcast. I am so excited to be joined by the Central Region Director of Marketing at Avis & Young, Andrew Fredericks. Andrew has been with Avis & Young since first joining as the Chicago Region's Marketing Manager in 2015. He has more than 15 years of experience in the marketing and journalism world and has overseen marketing campaigns at Avis & Young for hundreds of assets across different sectors and property types. Today, I am so excited to have Andrew here with me, chat a bit about him, his journey, where he's gone as a marketer, and what marketing for multifamily looks like in his role. Andrew, thank you so much for joining me.
Glad to be here.
Great. Let's jump in. I gave a little intro, but obviously that's not going to cover everything about you and your marketing career. So could you just tell me a little bit about you, how you got to your role as marketing director for such a massive real estate company?
Sure. Yeah. Let's go back to college. So I majored in journalism and studio art, and I started working out of college at the Arizona Daily Star in Tucson. When I came to Chicago, I started as a utility player with a boutique tenant rep agency leasing firm, really working with just downtown assets in Chicago. I had a mentor at that firm that came over and took the market lead role for Avis & Young in Chicago as the firm was growing its U.S. presence. And about a year later, after the non-compete expired, he pulled me over to Avis & Young, and I really just jumped in, rolled my sleeves up, and started to help build a team of marketing here in the Chicago office, which really represents Avis & Young's U.S. headquarters. So, working with the chief marketing officer who sat here, we started building out a team. And there were marketers in a few other regions across the country, but a lot of that organic growth where the market level marketers and the corporate marketing team intersected started here in Chicago.
Got it. And what did that sort of look like? What was the process during and after building that marketing team, and where did that lead you?
So great question. I think it gave me a lot of insight into kind of the marketing structure outside of servicing business and growing revenue. It gave me an operational point of view that I think I didn't have working for a boutique firm that was much more of a bootstrap approach to winning business. And that has helped me grow in the role that I'm in currently, which is a lot more about managing people than it is managing projects. And I think it's about having trust in the team that you put in place so that you're not micromanaging projects, but managing the personnel.
And I know that for a lot of our listeners, Avis & Young can obviously first and foremost present as commercial before multifamily. But I know that you do work with multifamily a bit in your role, and that started with, I believe, the acquisition of Mesa Development, was it?
Yeah, Mesa Development is, they were a Chicago development firm that had their hands in quite a few fairly significant projects, one of them being the Franklin Center, which at the time of development came up as the AT&T Center. Richard Hansen, who was running Mesa Development at the time of the acquisition by Avis & Young, is somewhat of a godfather of real estate in Chicago. He has won the Lifetime Achievement Award from ULI, which is not an annual award. It's really only bestowed when there's somebody worthy of it. Mm-hmm. So that says something to kind of the level that he has attained in his career. When Avis & Young acquired Mesa, Mesa brought over a few projects that were already in the works, some student multi-housing projects that were happening with the University of Chicago, several smaller apartment developments. We basically were, from the marketing side, were thrust right into their needs. They brought over one operations person, but their marketing at the time was mostly being outsourced to an agency. And a lot of those expenses were not projected in Avis & Young's budgeting, essentially. So the internal in-house marketing team here at Avis & Young quickly had to mobilize to support Mesa's ongoing projects, which were now being run under the Avis & Young banner.
Okay, amazing. I definitely want to get far more into the multifamily marketing work that you're starting to talk about. But first, one more question just about your past there. So you've worked, obviously, Avis and Young, but also smaller boutique firms. Can you tell me a little bit about some of the differences that you've seen working for external clients in a boutique firm versus, of course, in-house in your Avis and Young role?
Sure. Yeah, I actually think that's one of the more kind of interesting topics on the marketing side is that in-house versus agency approach. I think one of the fundamental differences there is that when a client is paying for marketing work, there's kind of an inherent trust from the client to the marketer because there's a monetary expense there. And I think a secondary dynamic there is the fact that in a sense, the agency is getting to choose their clients in a way. And so again, there's sort of a mutually agreed upon trust and understanding that you are going to engage with this partner and work to a common goal. Whereas on the in-house side, a lot of the times the brokers and the marketing folks, they're working together because essentially they have to. It's the dynamic of the company. Right. And there isn't this pre-agreed upon goal and set of outcomes that we're trying to achieve. Those are happening after the relationship has already been structured. Sometimes creates some problems in-house that you wouldn't deal with from an agency standpoint. One of the other aspects at play here are that, again, when it's an in-house team, there's a perception oftentimes by the sales folks that the marketing team is just support staff and there to execute only, as opposed to being a strategic partner in the process. And, you know, kind of going back to your questions about what I learned as the team was grown here in Chicago is that it's my role now as a manager of these creative folks to really establish them as equals and partners with the sales teams, as opposed to worker bees that are just there to execute on behalf of the sales team. And I think that that's where, again, building a multi-layered true marketing team in-house becomes critical. Mm-hmm. We're not just hiring a graphic designer that's going to be a graphic designer and then we'll hire another one. We're hiring a full structured team where we have strategists and copywriters and editors and digital professionals. And once you start to have that level of specialization on your in-house team, you earn a lot of credibility with the sales folks.
So it seems like that's really interesting. Not something I would have guessed. It's almost like this preconceived trust for these smaller boutique firms versus needing to prove it and prove it time and time again in-house.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think we're sort of also seeing the evolution of what an in-house marketing team looks like, at least within the commercial real estate industry. Perhaps we can take some of the blame off of the brokers and the sales folks for having this preconception.
Right.
Because it used to be that really the structure of these in-house teams they were graphic designers. Mm-hmm. They really were sort of worker bees. And the in-house team has really evolved to the point where the strategists and kind of those specialist roles, those roles are justified and we're able to go out and hire really top talent that in, I think, probably 10 years ago, those folks weren't really ever working at in a in-house department. They were going to an agency. So I think the demand to have top talent in-house has increased significantly. I appreciate Avis and Young because I think we were a little bit ahead of that curve in terms of the way that we were structuring our teams and creating true marketing paths for folks inside of commercial real estate.
So big differences there. Lots of changes happening. Let's go back to the work that you and your team are doing at Avis and Young. So I know that there's some multifamily marketing that we just briefly touched about earlier. Let's go into that. What specifically does that entail?
So what I would say the really interesting things that we're working on currently fall within the realm of apartment deconversions, which I think it's a fairly esoteric conversation, but it's an interesting one. So I'm like to dive into that just a little bit. The deconversions are essentially the result, I think, of sort of economic pressures that are currently happening and housing pricing dynamics, which is resulting in a higher number of people renting apartments as opposed to owning. It's also sort of in a parallel path become more viable for developers to own apartment buildings than it is to own condo buildings. So what's happening is in the 70s, a lot of properties were converted from apartments into condo buildings. Those buildings are now being deconverted from condo buildings back into apartment buildings. So in Chicago, at least, the way the dynamics work are 85% of the property owners in a condo association, if they're on board to sell, it essentially force sales the other 15%. And that would allow that property to then be deconverted from the condo building back into an apartment building, which makes it much more viable for sale to future developers and property owners.
Okay. And so with all these deconversions that are happening, what exactly does the marketing work look like?
Sure. Yeah, I think what we're seeing is it's really an opportunity to for a teaching moment and less about kind of pure economics. On the commercial side, industrial, office, however you want to look at it, generally speaking, these transactions are resulting from a broker and a broker. So it's really a kind of a business to business marketing operation as opposed to a business to consumer. So, you know, we would say B2B versus B2C. On that B2C side, again, I think it's about teaching. It's less about pure economics and more about, dare I say, emotion. And so as a marketer, I think you're tapping into more of an agency approach, to be honest, kind of a traditional advertising as opposed to like business marketing, which is the world that we tend to live in.
And so what does that really look like? Like what are these traditional marketing techniques, I guess?
Kind of turning back the clock in some ways a little bit and looking at who your audience is and really crafting your copywriting, using the right softer terms that speak more to building a level of trustworthiness and transparency, as opposed to marketing the pure economics of a transaction. Our world is generally, our clients are also represented by brokers. It's in some ways easier to communicate the bottom line when everybody understands that there's kind of a pure economic driver to a transaction. Whereas when you're talking about people's homes, it ties much more into emotion. You're also speaking to people that don't necessarily have the technical understanding of the industry. So it's about simplifying terms, being relatable, again, building trust and transparency on the process.
That trust and transparency sounds to be the most paramount part of this.
I think it is. On the deconversion side of things, I think it can be construed as somewhat predatory, right? Because of that 15% forced sale. So one of the ways that Avis & Young, for instance, was able to establish some transparency was we only worked with HOAs looking to dispose of the asset. We never represented developers coming in looking for kind of predatory plays on purchases. There are some brokerage houses out there that represented both HOAs on the sales and represented developers and owners on the purchases. While certainly not illegal, it could be somewhat opportunistic.
It's definitely not trustworthy, I wouldn't think.
Right. If I'm on if I'm in an HOA or I'm a condo owner, I really only want to work with a broker that's out looking to get the highest and best price on the sale of the property, not a broker that's also representing owners that are looking for the lowest prices on a property.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course, that makes sense, right?
Right. Whereas if you're dealing purely in industrial or office properties and it's all commercial, I know multifamily is technically commercial too, but it is, you're talking about people's homes. Whereas on an office sale or an office lease, there's sort of just an understanding that there's economic drivers here. And ultimately, you sort of don't fault your competitive brokers for pushing for those highest prices or lowest prices because it's the game we're playing. Mm-hmm. But when you're working on the multifamily side or the single family side for residential brokers, it's much more pertinent that you establish that trust. And it's not about pure economic plays. It's also about doing what's best for your clients.
Of course, that makes a ton of sense. So obviously you mentioned a lot of things there where your commercial work as a marketer varies from that multifamily marketing experience. Is there anything that we're missing or that we haven't hit on how commercial real estate marketing experience might vary to that of being a multifamily marketer?
Sure. One of the things we're leveraging a bit more on the multifamily side is those direct targeting of specific users, because as I alluded to, such a high volume of transactions in the commercial real estate world happen with a co-broker on the other side of the deal. Generally speaking, we're really targeting our contemporaries. We're targeting other brokers from other firms. It's the availability of properties to the brokerage community. Whereas on the multifamily side, specifically on these deconversions, we're doing a lot of front-end work to qualify which buildings and properties are viable for these. And then we're doing the kind of the targeting work of who are the folks that live in these buildings. And we're distributing direct snail mail. So again, this is kind of what I was talking about in terms of turning back the clock a little bit, right? And taking more traditional approach to some of this advertising and marketing. We're sending direct campaigns to residents of these buildings. And we're really, again, using it as a teachable moment. We're simplifying the process, gaining credibility through direct and easily digestible content, as opposed to when we're marketing cross from broker to broker, business to business. We're really kind of flexing our muscles. We're leveraging our technical jargon and our really specific knowledge of real estate. We're gaining credibility through flexing our understanding of the topic, as opposed to the residential side, where we're targeting residents directly. We're gaining the credibility through simplification.
I see. Really interesting. So far less technical for multifamily, whereas with commercial, it's more about almost demonstrating your proficiency through this jargon.
Exactly.
So how do you go about the process? Obviously, there's so much going on here. How do you demystify sort of the ins and outs of the industry that you're talking about, considering, you know, you aren't a broker or a specialist, you're a marketer?
Sure. Yeah, I think we have to know enough to almost be the salespeople, but also know enough about how the general public is going to digest whatever the topic is, whether it's a highly complex financial model or it's sort of understanding the general economy and the drivers for why a property might be more viable as an office building versus industrial versus multifamily. And I think we're really bridging the gap, essentially, mm-hmm. to simplify it and acting as a translator for both sides and figuring out what the right tone is based on that audience. So at the end of the day, we're really acting as a translator, decoding and making things digestible for those end users. And I think a great way to do that is to be a storyteller and not make it so hyper-focused on the financial aspects of a transaction, but more on the end benefits to the residents of these properties. You know, one of the things I think of having my journalism background is how do you fit a 10-inch article into 6 inches? You know, right. That was when I was working for the newspaper, we would be asked to come up with 10 or 12 inches for a story that we were focusing on. And when it came down to page layout, those 12 inches would be cut to 6. but we would still be expected to be able to tell the same story in 6 inches. Right. So, you know, how do we reduce the volume and still effectively communicate the message?
Yeah, definitely makes sense. So in a lot of ways, sounds like what you're talking about, what you're mentioning goes back to earlier, some of those more antiquated techniques to run this multifamily marketing campaign.
Yeah. While it's a departure from the standard process, it's really just a different way of looking at the same challenge and leveraging a few different tools in the marketing toolbox. While we use case studies to win commercial business on the office and industrial side, it's become significantly more important or a significantly larger piece of the puzzle on the residential side to demonstrate our trustworthiness. This goes back to, you know, the point you made earlier or what you pulled out of that, which was that transparency and trustworthiness on the residential side seems to play a bigger role. It just does than on the commercial side.
Absolutely. It's about creating those personalized experiences because this is these people's lives.
It is. Yeah. In addition to leveraging the social proof aspects and developing a real sense of trustworthiness through our messaging and the approach to copywriting, we're also having to leverage some different techniques in terms of the way we're building and targeting our distribution lists. Again, most of our communication is really happening at the B2B level. So we're communicating with other brokerages. There is a fairly finite number of targets that we're hitting based on our understanding of the brokerage landscape in the different markets in which we're working. Whereas this is causing us to go out and leverage some more traditional techniques in terms of identifying targeted lists and doing these direct mailers. So we have hyper-targeted email and snail mail distribution lists targeted right down to the residents within a specific building. And our communication to these groups differs based on sort of the status of these properties. Mm-hmm. So not only are the lists hyper-targeted, but the messages within the lists based on, you know, number of units in a property, potential economic drivers of the sale, that all influences the messaging within these distributions. So it's a way for it's about us, you know, working strategically with these salespeople to understand what is going to move the needle.
Got it. So it seems like final message of what you're doing for both multifamily, but of course also commercial, is really just about aligning marketing as being a strategic partner.
100%. I think that at the end of the day, that actually is my job description. I think I alluded to it earlier that we've seen this evolution of what it means to be a marketer in the commercial real estate world and what an in-house team looks like. And I don't even know if when I started in this industry, we would have been considered strategic partners. We really were sort of just worker bees. We were facilitators on behalf of the salespeople. And where we've evolved to is exactly what you're saying. And it's that we really need to align values for people. We need to help our sales teams understand who their audiences are and what is going to be relevant to them. We really need to tell better stories and create engaging content. And we need to create personalized experiences for those end users. And if it's a broker and that personalized experience is just how they're going to make the most money, then that's what it is. And that's an effective strategy. But as we start to look at different asset types, different audiences, we really need to start to strategically look at the content we're creating, who it's being delivered to, and kind of the tone that it's delivered in.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Andrew, for joining me today and for going through all of this. It's so informative and so wonderful to hear a marketing perspective from somebody that understands both multifamily and commercial and how those two things might vary.
It was my pleasure being here. Thank you so much, Jordana.
And to all of our listeners, before I let you go today, Multi Housing News wants to invite you to join the MHN Executive Council. Each month, leading multifamily experts weigh in on different informative and trending topics, and we would love to have your insights featured. To join, please email jessica.fiur@cpe-mhn.com. Further, be sure to check out MHN and CPE on all of our social media. Thank you so much, and looking forward to seeing you next month.